Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Pete Gray here, along with Corey Sandin today. Ricky's still off having fun somewhere.
He should be.
A good time, yeah. And we have a great guest, Joel Ralston.
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
That's me.
Yeah, we're having a great time. A lot of history with Joel in this room, fishing with Joel and enjoying life. And Joel's like the life of the party on the boats.
Yeah, that's where I feel most comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to like those Let's Talk Hookup trips we used to do on the Legends.
Yeah, for sure.
And so those were fun.
And do you miss?
I miss work. I mean, I miss all my groups.
Yeah.
You just love fishing. I mean, that's what it comes to.
You know, it's weird when I go out, I almost just want to help people. I just been doing it for so long. I start fishing for myself, and I start, wow, it's like,
wow.
Somebody's going to be yelling at me, you know, like,
yeah.
Bob, you know, hey, put that down. Go help that guy or something, you know. It's just.
Yeah, for sure. Well, having a great time. We're giving away a great prize in honor of Joel and the nostalgia that he brings.
We're giving away a full-day trip on the Mission Bell, which now runs out of Point Loma Sport Fishing, owned by Cameron, taken over from Steve P., and you can be that lucky winner. We're going to have Joel flip the coin. It's going to go to a lucky texture or caller. Yeah, that's it right there.
Lines are open right now, Jeff.
There is. There's lines open right now. 833-288-0973. Jeff's waiting for you right now. And we're going to continue on with Gundy Gunderson and our surf report. And I think we left you off with a cherry berry up there in Santa Barbara.
We're up South Bay there. 34-inch halibut on a cherry berry flash minnow. That's always a good color there. We'll move down. That big fish reported continued good halibut fishing in and around L.A. Harbor. And these guys are telling me this is the best halibut fishing they've seen in that area in years. Shoreline Drive, Dog Beach, Sunset, Bolsa Chica, all those stretches producing
Bolsa
fish.
Chica.
3 inch was the top fish taken at 72nd place. That's a dandy. Hogan's reported solid perch action off Salt Creek strands, the pier, Rivieras, most fish 7 to 10 inches, a mix of halibut, and short to legal white sea bass off Cotton's Point on white swim baits. Now, this is a bite that usually develops in the spring. That Cotton's Point can get real fishy. Pacific Coast reported more good halibut fishing, both beach and lagoons, live bait, frozen anchovies, swim baits, the whole deal. 14-pound halibut taken in Oceanside Harbor,
man.
So very good fishing. And we got a grunion run and a full moon right around the corner, so I imagine it's just going to get better, Pete.
That sounds incredible, really, man.
Yeah, I mean, springtime.
Right?
Surf fishing.
The water
temps
are right. The fish are there. The bait's there. Bring it on. And Gundy, always an awesome report. And really appreciate you hanging on through the top of the hour break there, because it just
no worries.
Would not be a complete show.
I want to ask Joel a question. Joel,
lay it on me.
When I was sitting on that bay receiver, I can't remember the name of the skipper, but anytime anyone would get him on the radio and they'd ask how the bite was, he'd always say, slow pick ones and twos. Who was that? Oh man. Slow pick ones and twos, whether he was catching or not, if it was wide open, that's all you'd ever get.
That's all he'd say.
He used to crack you.
That's all he'd give you.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm going to have to dig around for that name.
It's like when people ask me how the fish is going to be, I always tell them, oh, I'll let you know later. I'll let you know on the way in or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Deflecting.
Hey, Gundy, appreciate it.
Yeah, the radio play is always interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, slow pick ones and twos. One of our listeners might remember that one.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like Paulie Hawkins, but he was never on a sport boat.
No.
Hey, Gundy, appreciate the report.
I'll get that. Dude.
All right. We'll stay tuned and Let's Talk Hookup. We might get the answer.
Right?
Great
exactly.
Show, man.
And we'll talk to you soon. In fact, we'll talk to you
nice
next Sunday.
Yeah, nice way of... nice way of describing Joel as nostalgia, you know.
Yeah.
Is that a way of saying an old goat?
Yeah, old goat.
Oh, good stuff, Gundy. Look forward to next week's report. And that does conclude
great
it.
Great job, guys.
Absolutely, Gundy. And for all your surfish needs, check surffishtackle.com.
All right, Scott Sherman's on the line. Good morning, Scott.
Shermanator.
The Shermanator.
Hey, buddy. Another good show this morning, guys.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Just wanted to call in and talk about the bottom fishing tournament coming up, if I could.
Yes, sir. Go for it.
Yeah, coming up April 18th, the 56th Annual Southwestern Yacht Club Bottom Fishing Tournament for charity is coming up. The charity is Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea, so we all know that charity and all the money that we raise from this event goes directly to Captain Rollo's. It's an amazing tournament, been around a very long time, tons of fun, and everything goes towards raising money for Captain Rollo. Starts on the 18th, early bird sign-up ends this Friday, so if you want to get into the early bird sign-up, save a few dollars, and get entered into the early bird raffle, Friday is the deadline, so I would suggest getting out there and signing up right away.
And how do we sign up?
Go to swycanglers.org, and it's all right there, or you can go to one of the local tackle shops, find one of our flyers, and hit the QR code with your phone, and it'll take you right to registration as well.
And
you don't have to... Go ahead.
Scott, you don't have to be a participant, really, to come down and enjoy the festivities and raffle and silent auction type of stuff either.
Fantastic fish barbecue.
Yeah, no, you can sign up for dinner only there on the spot and come down and enjoy the festivities and the raffles and the auctions and the fresh fish taco dinner and all the fun that we have, and maybe walk home with some pretty good prizes, because
nice.
We have some pretty good stuff this year. I mean, last year I thought we'd outdone ourselves, but this year we're really going strong. A lot of people are supporting and putting stuff into the raffles and the auctions, and we're very much looking forward to it. Day starts out early in the morning with breakfast here at the club. Then it's a shotgun start at 6:30. You can go out fish wherever you want, just along your back to the weigh-in by 3:30. At 4:30, the event starts, and we get going with the fresh fish tacos from the catch we had that day, and then the raffles and the auctions and all the fun ensues. It's a really good time, and we've been doing it for 56 years now, so something must be going right.
Right?
Yeah, and 100% of the money this year goes to Captain Rollo's Kids Sea. And Joel, you're taking a bunch of kids out, thanks to Captain Rollo's, who's funding
the
trip,
yes.
Right? You're taking
a Friday.
Can you imagine all those kids going out with Joe Ralston on the Dolphin?
It's
going
to be a blast.
Yeah, it's going to be a
blast. It's going to be a blast. I mean, most of the kids are way more mature than me, so maybe I'll learn how to behave in public.
Yeah, it'll be
fun. Maybe not.
But that's
anyways.
An example of where that money goes that you're raising, Sherm, to take kids fishing. It goes
to take kids
out on the Dolphin.
We've had some help with a lot of people trying to, you know, give it a stuff for a little bit of swag for the kids, yourself included.
Yeah.
Bill from United Rods and Big Fish Bobby, he's helping out.
How many kids are you taking? Like,
it's going to be right at 20.
I'll put together a swim bait pack.
That's
too,
so cool.
For the kids.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, the numbers keep changing because, we want to go. Oh, no, we're going out of town. You know, cause
it's Good Friday.
Good Friday and Easter, and so it's a family thing.
But that's cool, Joel.
We're going to try to do a little better next year of
the money you raise goes to funding those types of programs to take kids fishing. That's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
If you think about it, you know, last year we did $25,000 for Captain Rollo.
Incredible.
And it takes $75 to take $75 to take a kid fishing. So imagine the amount of kids that we put on the water last year. Just by having a really fun tournament that everybody enjoys participating in.
Such a great tournament. All right, once again, that's April 18th, Saturday. Then Sunday is Day at the Docks here in the San Diego Landings. But Saturday is the Southwestern Yacht Club 57th annual bottom fishing tournament.
Next Sunday is Day at the Docks?
No, the 19th.
Oh, okay.
The day after the bottom fish tournament.
Okay.
The 19th. So, again, SWYC, is it?
Anglers.org.
.org, right?
Yep.
SWYCanglers.org.
Or just go down to the tackle shop and scan the QR code, and you got it all done right there.
A lot easier to do it that way.
Right?
Yeah, you got to go. Yeah, you got to go pick up some ganyons and some weights and those kind of things for fishing the tournament. So go down, pick up your gear, sign up, and you're good to go.
There it is, Sherm. We appreciate you calling in.
Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you real soon. Appreciate all the efforts you're making to raise money for kids.
Right.
And phones, you know, there's phones are available if you want to get through. Jeff Hamby is standing by at the fan, 833-288-0973. Even though he's been working the long hours, he's staying up.
He is, man. Padres going. And we're giving away that full-day trip on the Mission Bell out of Point Loma Sport Fishing as well. Pete, the one lucky caller or texter. And
let's jump back on the phone.
Let's do that. How about Doug, the one and only Doug from Montebello. Good morning, Doug.
Hello?
Doug.
Hi. Where do you guys hit the roughest water at? Well, you've been traveling all over, so where would be the roughest water?
Right on the bow, normally. South Pacific, we got tuned up. Last time I was down there, we had 11 cyclones in 2 months.
We
did a lot of drifting. But, you know, it's... up north, we've you know, Washington and Oregon, we've had some pretty horrific weather up there. A lot of guys that I work with have been in weather, you know, wind that's like 100 knots. I haven't seen that
knots?
Yet. And I don't want to see 100 knots, but 70, I've seen 70.
You've seen 70?
That was enough for me.
Wow. Yeah, gnarly. That is so gnarly.
Yeah.
And when you say drift, a lot don't understand that you're on the sea anchor going through.
No sea anchor. On the Marina, we would just... We'd have two big wells up front, so we would fill the whatever side of the boat was the weather side, so we kind of lean into the weather. So
I gotcha.
Go boom, you know.
So it stabilizes.
Because like boats are tricky. If you're listing, like if the wind's hitting you on the starboard side and you're listing to port, like the port side's a little heavier than the starboard side, the boat feels like it's going to roll over, and then it drops. And then
a little slappy.
It drops. So it's best to kind of... get the boat rigged up so you're kind of leaning into the weather, and you just drift
until
you eat till you're sleepy, you sleep till you're hungry, and you wake up, you keep an eye on the weather.
Take it like a champ.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
No, thank you.
Text, huh?
I do, actually. Man, that weather is no thank you.
No.
Captain, that would be you, Captain Joel Ralston.
Aye,
Captain,
aye.
Tell us about the rubber chicken.
I remember that was on the bold contender.
Okay, and he says, I remember you telling me about a farmed fish, and you get to wear it until someone else farms a fish.
No. We had one on the bold contender.
Comes from Terry.
Chris Flores used to run the boat, and it was one of those albacore days where we couldn't buy a bite, and we're driving, and normally the trollers would lose interest if you're not driving for 3 minutes and getting a jig strike and catching some bait fish. So we didn't have any trollers, and we were kind of tired of that because every time we stopped on a meter mark, whatever, the crew has to wind in the troller rods. So we had this rubber chicken a clip on it, and had a big sinker, like a 4-pound sinker in it. So we slid it down this guy's line back to drag off. We went in there and go, hey, man, you got one. And he went back there, and he's winding. The just drag was all backed off, you know. So it took him a lot longer. And Flores comes out. He's on the back deck looking at me. You know, like, how come you're not throwing bait? No. Just keep watching. Everything's good. He's going, what? And then the guy pulls in the chicken, and he freaked out. And we're all, what's going on? He's like, who told you? Who told me what? He's like, I work at KFC. I don't think this is very funny. And I was all, well, we didn't know. But it is kind of funny.
Yeah. Chicken of the sea.
Chicken of the sea.
Joel, never a dull moment, man.
Hey, Uncle Mike from Huntington Beach writes, good morning and great show, guys. Joel, when I'm talking to fishermen in Oregon and Washington, they say using different techniques regarding feathers, zookers, or jigs. Can you explain what's up with the albacore fishing techniques they use? Also, how big do the albacore get up there? What's the record?
Oh, I don't know what the record is. Normally the stuff on the beach, 35 to 45 pounds, those bigger ones, I know they get bigger.
But your average size.
But those zookers, they swim really good, but they got a resin head. So if you're commercial fishing them, when they hit the deck, the head blows up sometimes. So you got to keep swapping them out. Those tuna clones are really good because they're virtually indestructible. You might start losing, you know, parts of the skirt a little bit. But
that's what you use?
Yeah, those hex heads are really good because you get in the skirts and you make your own, you know, with the either the red eyes or the blue eyes.
Yeah. How many jigs at one time will you run?
Well, when I ran a jig boat, we put 28 out there, but then sometimes you turn on a mark and the jigs tangle up, and tangles are no good.
Which is crazy to think, right? Like 28 jigs behind the boat.
Now you're all live bait now. You don't.
No, no. We 12 jigs, yeah. 14 jigs. That's
until they get on the light on the bait.
Yeah. Until once the bait gets color and starts, you know, balling up a little bit, and the birds get on it, you know, that's when everything seems to school up. And that's when we make our money.
Do you guys run as short as a chain line?
Like, oh yeah, absolutely.
Like literally, Pete, you could watch it 2 feet behind the chain.
Well,
dragging in the water, like aside the boat, not behind the boat.
Well, yeah. Some of the bigger jig boats, they have a set of poles on the bow and a set of poles on the stern, and they run a cloth line in between them. So they got jigs right alongside the boat. So they're like,
you can
right
watch
there.
Them eat it
right there,
like right
there.
Alongside.
I mean, I always thought like if we get the poles to go forward, you get bit, you know, right on the bow, like under the bulbous bow or something like that. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
They're not boat shy.
How big is the Teresa M?
We are, well, it depends. Like, if I got to pay to tie up someplace, they'll go by overall length, which is 70 feet. But the Coast Guard says we're 62.8 feet.
Okay, yeah.
So, but if you try to tell somebody where you're tying up, no, the Coast Guard says we're only 62.8 feet. But no, the bow goes like this.
Oh, I see.
Then the anchor's a little bit more. And then if there's a bird there with its tail hanging forward off the anchor, you know, they got to make you pay for that. That's another 4 inches. So.
Yeah, exactly. Let's jump back on the phones, Corey.
Let's do that. How about Jim? Jim calling from National City. Good morning, Jim. Appreciate you joining us.
Big Jim.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, I was lucky enough to fish with Joel a couple of years back, his last year on the Condor, and what a great experience. Pete, you told me that I had encountered you behind Fisherman's Landing before getting on the boat, and you told me you will enjoy this guy to the utmost, and you were right, Pete. What a great guy, a great skipper.
You know, some people forget that fish is supposed to be fun, so that's.
Thanks a lot for finding my tackle box.
Yes, I remember.
Hey, I'm kind of selfish, Joel. Any chance of getting you back with us on the sport boats, or are you a happy camper right now?
I might do a cameo appearance every once in a while in the spring or late fall if the boat's back here. If the season ends up there and somebody gives me a 911 call that they need somebody to run a boat, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Absolutely.
Because your albacore season is really June through October at the latest?
End of October, yeah. So there's, yeah. I mean, normally it's right about the time we start losing people for sport fishing because there's other stuff, you know, holidays. Thanksgiving,
but
whatever.
There might be people looking for a day off, you know.
That time of year, you could,
a little burnout.
A lot of times, especially if it's been bluefin all year long, and it's like up all day, up all night, up all day, up all night, up all day, up all night. Yeah,
they might be looking for Joel.
Hey man, come down, please, anything.
Yeah. So, you have a great text, huh?
Actually, I don't. I have a good one.
Yeah, it's actually from Joe in La Mesa, and he wants to know if albacore come back here. Would the current methods of RSW and stuff that we use take good care of the albacore, knowing that they're soft?
I couldn't imagine.
Back in the day, before everyone had refrigeration, we talked about this last time I was on the show. It's just the evolution of fish handling on the boats. They used to fish albacore all day long. No, none of the one-day boats have fish holes. They're all long-range boats. They sit in the sun all day long.
Curled in a gunny sack.
The crew would fillet it. Bag it up, leave them on top of the bait tank with the hose running on top of it. Everyone would take it home, and they'd make albacore patties or whatever. I mean,
I can remember from that era. I mean, and we were like the sophisticated ones, right? So
yeah.
With Joe Machado, like we were lucky enough to get a day off in June or July.
Uh-huh.
We'd hop on one of the boats. It was usually Eddie McEwen on the Pacific Queen.
Or Buzz on the Prowler.
Or Buzz, or Cy running the Prowler.
Yeah, CSI.
So here's what we did. We had pieces of twine, right, that we'd loop around the tail.
The tail to let them hang and try to keep them wet all day long.
Literally, if I caught a skipjack, if that was the first fish, I took care of it like it was my only fish. Right?
Yeah. And people, I mean, because it was different. Because guys were ready all day long with a shiny sinker and a nose hook anchovy while they're trolling in case the guy stopped the boat, you know, jig strike, slide one back on the slide, bam, get bit. But they're always going to the bait take anyways. You pin on a bait, you leave it on your hook until it would die, right. Take it off, you get a new bait, get there, throw some water on your
fish. Because that bite could come in any moment. But
fish
taking
the slide is, I mean, it's
taking care of the fish like that, hanging them was, you know, sophisticated for that time and era, right? But today, I couldn't imagine, man.
No.
RSW fresh, not frozen, ready for table take home. I'm ready.
Yeah. I mean, just the way things are handled nowadays, it's just
it's a respectful level. Really,
absolutely.
For the harvest.
Absolutely.
I love it. You got a good one, Pete?
No, go ahead.
Oh, actually, I don't. So
okay,
let's do it. All right, and we have Sean Cone from Lomita. Good morning, Sean.
Sean.
Hey. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Joel, you're a great storyteller. That's the second best part of fishing besides catching fish.
Yeah. Because they don't always bite, so sometimes if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, you got to baffle them with BS. So storytelling is kind of key in the industry.
With all these signs of El Nino coming up, I mean, they're all out there. Can you reflect on some memories of other El Ninos, exotic catches, and what's going to happen with the bluefin bite? We're already seeing them off Monterey. What do you think?
Bluefin are weird. They go where the food is, where other boats or other fish are kind of constrained by fish temperature. But even albacore, some of those first years of those things came back, we're catching them in 72-degree water. Granted, it was just the surface temp. There's just a little bit of 72-degree water, and down deeper was cooler. You know, the thermocline might have been just at 10 fathoms or something like that, and that stuff would come up in that hot water at the end of the day or a couple of times a day to feed. But I don't think that bluefin's really going to care much.
It just wants to be where it feels comfortable, where the food is.
If there is feed,
they'll adapt.
They will be here.
Yeah.
Do you ever catch bluefin up where you are?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, the 12-15 pounders. Yeah.
They'll mix in with the albacore?
Yeah, but they're just a bad influence. Back to the BDI thing with those
bluefin.
They teach albacore to do things differently.
Not so friendly with the
hook. You don't like
friendly with the jigging or anything like that.
They've
so
messed
when
it up.
Around, it's like, eh.
Yeah, they're a bad influence.
Yeah, bad influence.
You ever see skipjack that far north, Joel?
Yes, I'm
asking that because the skipjack will sometimes do the convert of what you're describing.
Yeah, sometimes the mixture of competition for food thing, but normally that's like the beginning of the end. It was always like that down here.
Okay.
You start, you know, get a little bit warmer water, some skippy starts mixing in. Then around here, you know, yellowfin are probably right around the corner.
Right.
It's just
it's not what you want to see.
Not really. No.
But it might help the bite a little bit. I mean,
more
so than the bluefin.
Way more so than bluefin.
Yeah.
This year, if we start seeing skipjack with an El Nino year like it is that a good sign for us?
Not a bad thing, really, right?
Yeah, but you don't want to start seeing skippies.
Yeah.
You know?
You want to see yellowfin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be nice if you guys had a nice shot of some albacore or something like that, because most guys working on boats down here nowadays have never seen the light.
They have no idea, Joe.
No. It's been 15 years.
And
what is that thing with the big eye and the long
fin? Right?
Yeah, where'd this thing come from?
But here's the crazy thing. Like, it drives a stir at these landings. Like, some people have never, ever seen in their life.
The fishing fleet was built on albacore.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that, because it was... And they're the perfect fish.
Yes.
A rent rodder with a sinker can nose hook a bait, get on the windy side of the boat, set it down there. Oh, whoa.
I'm on. 20-pounder.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, and here's what's beautiful. Here's what I assume that Pete and you, Joel, love about the ocean, because it's what I love. You never know what it has to offer, right?
Yep. This is like a box of chocolate.
Thank
you
very much.
You never know what you're
going to
get.
Mr. Gump, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but you just have to enjoy what is here and present. And
yeah.
If it's bluefin, enjoy it, because it might not be here next year.
Oh, yeah. If it's albacore, then take a bunch of pictures with it.
I'll double
enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's find out what's biting out there.
It might just be somebody that would enjoy it as well. Mr. Youssef Hosseini with the fishdope.com with the angler's realtor himself. Good morning, Youssef.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Fantastic.
We're entertained here. Hopefully you are as well.
Good. Great show. I'm going to start up at Catalina. This last week, Danny says that they saw the first big sea bass of the year.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, not a ton of squid around, but there are a few bigger fish being caught. We definitely need some big volume of squid to move in to see those those big bite days. Water temperatures are up in the 60s already.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully it's going to happen here soon. There is some yellowtail action, too, on the front side. 8 to 10 pounders, nothing crazy, but they're there, as well as some bonita. The barracuda are also starting to show up, and calico bass turned on big time this last week.
Nice.
Moving over to Clemente, there is yellowtail in Pyramid Cove now. They're really starting to show up. They're just not biting good yet. Expecting more of that to move in here within the next couple weeks. Big calicos are biting on the backside, like 2 to 5 pound class fish. Down to La Jolla, same thing. Yellows popped up. It's been an afternoon bite. These are bigger home guard yellows in the northwest corner area.
Woo.
Down to Coronado's, it is no secret that they're yellowtail there, that's for sure. Big volumes of fish down there, big volumes of boat traffic as well. It is very tight, but they are biting. Rock pile area, boats are stacked up as well. SKR, there's fish everywhere, though. Sport boats, obviously, are doing a little bit better than the private guys because they've got the electronics and the bait. There is also some bluefin still out there. They're down like 200-plus miles, though, for anything with volume right now. We are going to have a plane up this week, so I should have a really good report for you next week. But that's all I got for now, guys.
Fantastic. And, of course, fishdope.com, $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And what's going on in the real estate world, man? A lot of crazy stuff, right?
Yeah, actually, it's kicking, man. The business is starting to really move again. It's normal springtime stuff. We had a lag for about 2 weeks where nobody wanted to do business, and then we're right back to it. But it's picking up. We're going to see, hopefully the rates come back down. It did fluctuate up a little bit, but it's moving.
That's good.
And that's for sure.
And how do we find you if we want the best in real estate?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can also get me online at The Angler's Realtor on social media. And if you want a free home evaluation, go to SoCalHomeEval.com.
That's right. All you have to do is just put in your information. There's no strings attached. They won't be bugging you. You find exactly what your house is worth, right?
Yes, sir.
And Yusuf is actually a nice guy,
He's
right?
a very
yes,
nice guy.
Exactly.
And he knows his stuff, too.
Right? You don't have to worry about any BS tagging in addition to his help.
Yep, for sure. Hey, thanks, Yusuf. Appreciate the report, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
Take care.
All right. Thanks. All right.
You want to go to the phones?
Let's do it.
How about, very interesting here, calling from the South Pacific, we have Patrick.
Oh, Ziff.
Good morning.
Zipper.
Joel.
How are you doing? How's your weather?
Not bad today. It was a little sloppy yesterday. Driving into a high, so we should have decent weather the rest of the way back to the river.
Catching any freezer fish?
We had a barracuda the other day on the jig, one of those East Coast style ones.
No way.
Mixed bag is, yeah.
Wow.
Not a big one, but yeah. As soon as I walked, I thought it was a wahoo looking at it on the camera, and then I walked on the back deck and I could smell it.
Offshore barramundi.
Got that barracuda
smell.
Bloody
big fish.
Bloody big fish. And so you're actually right now on the South Pacific?
No, he's on his way home.
No, I'm 1,200 miles below the urban bank. We're on our way home.
So
1,200 miles south of here, but what are you, 138?
138 and 1230.
Wow. You're way out there. Thank goodness for Starlink.
No,
right?
We're close. This is a downhill slide. We'll be home in 10 days.
1,200 miles?
Yeah, home stretch, 10 days.
Yeah. How long have you been making your way home?
We left Tahiti on the 17th of March.
Wow.
Incredible. So, Patrick, are you working your way to the north end to continue with your season up here off the...
He wants to get off the boat.
Period, right?
Yeah, we'll do a haul out and then be ready by the middle of June to do the North Pacific season.
Right.
Do something. We didn't make any money in the South.
Yeah, Joel was describing that at the beginning of the season, how it was a pretty tough season for you boys down there. But
horrible.
Hopefully, Patrick, it pans out up here off the Columbia or off Oregon somewhere with the albacore fishing up here for you, hopefully.
So Patrick's one of the boats that you work with up north?
He was a good
He works for the company that I used to work for.
Oh, okay. Great. What's it like working with Joel Ralston on the high seas?
I can't imagine.
Him and I are good running partners.
He's got this habit. We have aluminum landing tables, and the boat he was on had these these flaps that were just kind of hooked up to the overhead, and when a fish hit the table, the thing just rattled, and Joel loves putting it over the radio.
I like talking. Turn the volume up to the PA, because the PA, you can hear what's going on. See you next week. Yeah, no, it's really slow over here. I haven't seen any fish all day.
Don't come this way.
Yeah, don't come over here.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Hey, Patrick, appreciate you calling us for the high seas there.
Yep.
Drive safe, Bubba. We'll see when we see you.
And so, Patrick, your fish is going through High Seas.
High Seas Tuna.
HighSeasTuna.com, yeah?
Yeah, that's our house brand, and it only comes off of our boats.
All right. Well, we've been talking about it all morning. We've been talking about it. Yeah. So good stuff, Patrick.
Joel says it's best quality.
Good stuff. I don't like fish, and I still eat it.
Yep.
There it is. See, man.
There you have it. If you don't like fish, buy this. It'll change your mind.
All right.
Yeah. Good stuff, Patrick. Well, safe travels and good luck with your haul out and your season up here at the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yep. See you guys. Have a good one. Talk to you later, Joel.
See ya.
Special call. Hey, we're going to be right back. More with Joel Ralston. If you can handle any more, you might want to stay tuned for the next part when we return on the Let's Talk Cook About YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
It's truck month at your local San Diego County Ford dealers. The biggest deals of the year on Ford trucks are happening now. From Pro Power Onboard to Blue Cruise Tech and the Ford Security Package, Ford's award-winning truck lineup is built with the power and utility to help you take on whatever life throws your way. From F-Series, America's best-selling truck, to the Ford Maverick and the Ford Ranger, built to take you everywhere from work to play. Check out the entire lineup of Ford trucks and take a test drive today. Go to your local San Diego County Ford dealers today.
I believe there is no doubt that the finest sport fishing in the world starts right here in San Diego. This is Captain Frank Lopresti. Our fleet of long-range boats and crew are unmatched, and the Royal Polaris and Shogun are right at the top of the list. Captain Jonathan Yamati and his crew aboard the Royal Polaris are considered to be the finest long-range vessel in the world. From summer bluefin, yellowtail, and wahoo to giant yellowfin tuna, our record is unmatched. The Shogun, under the direction of Captain Rene Montegudo, has become one of the most popular long-range boats in the fleet. This big, wide, solid riding vessel has gained a reputation for catching fish and treating their customers to an epic vacation on the water. I am so proud of Jonathan, Rene, and the crews on both the Royal Polaris and Shogun, as they have helped me keep the reputation of the premier vessels in the long-range fleet. Come see for yourself. Book a trip on the Royal Polaris or Shogun today. Check RoyalPolarisSportFishing.com. or ShogunSportFishing.com, or call Monica or Jen in the office at 619-226-8030.
Introducing new PowerPro Max 8 Microfilament Braided Fishing Line. It's built for offshore anglers seeking smooth casting and control. PowerPro Max 8 features an 8-carrier Spectra HT construction that cuts through current with ease for precise vertical jigging with a 25% thinner diameter. Available in white and metered, 4-color for trolling spread control and precise jigging depths. It's stronger, smoother, and thinner. PowerPro Max 8 is now available at your tackle retailer.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having so much darn fun with Captain Joel Ralston. Joel,
talking fishing and the call stories. In the middle of the high seas out there, and pretty cool from one of your buddies out there. Hey, let's go, speaking of calls from way far away, let's go up to Alaska right now and talk to our good buddy Seth Bone from Kingfisher Charters. Good morning, Seth.
Seth.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How's life in Sitka right now?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I'm anchored up in the boat here about 6 miles from town, and there's an inch of new snow on the ground.
Wow.
There's whales. There's whales just outside the cove where we're anchored up here, and the herring are spawning or schooling up to spawn. So, yeah, it's a beautiful scene here.
Wow, I'll bet. Can you start catching salmon yet?
Yeah. There, some kings have been caught here recently, for sure.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Sounds like a fun day in Sitka, definitely. So, Kingfisher Charters, certainly, as we always say, the finest operation in Alaska. We've been doing business with you for well over 30 years, and every year it just sustains, like, the best quality. How do you do that, Seth?
I don't know. I got some good people, I guess. You know, you find some good people and let them do their thing, and they do a great job. And we're just so fortunate to have, you know, the awesome, you know, captains and guides that have worked with us for years, and, you know, the same chef for the last 22 years.
Wow.
or you know, managers for, you know, 30 years ish. You know, so yeah, we're just super, super fortunate and grateful.
Yeah, and the other thing too, it's the best value in Alaska too. I don't know how you keep your prices down. I know they've risen, of course, over the years, but still, if you want to go to Alaska on a 4-day, 3-night trip, nobody can even come close to what Kingfisher does as far as the quality and everything that you do there.
I think my wife and I might try that next year.
Oh, you should. Yeah, it's really good. And then you have, like, the best captains in Sitka too, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, geez, yeah, the guys, I mean, you've been with a lot of them, and they're just the best. I mean, for sure, they've been doing it for forever, and they're really good at it, really into it. And, super, super happy with the guys that we've worked with for decades now.
Yeah. Now, have they released the regulations this year for Sitka?
No, the halibut are set pretty similar to, you know, what it's been the last few years. The salmon, king salmon should come out soon. You know, the other species, like, you know, the cohos and black cod and, you know, rockfish and lings should all be pretty status quo. You know, they don't seem to change year to year.
Yeah, that's great. And what I understood that last year they had a Tuesday closure on halibut. This year it's a Thursday closure. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, but it starts, it doesn't start till June 18th. So I think it starts like right after, you know, the Let's Talk Hookup trip.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, so, sweet. Huh?
Yeah. So
if you do your trip earlier, they'd be able to catch that kind of stuff earlier.
Yeah. So
it's revolving around your trip.
But speaking of the Let's Talk Hookup trip, you don't have to worry about getting a spot this year because you actually have a couple of spots open. Very rare to have this late in the season to have a couple spots open. You actually have a couple spots open on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so it's a good opportunity if someone wants to get in on that trip, which is usually sold out, you know, many, many, many months in advance or a year in advance. But we do have a couple spots, and yeah, it's a good chance to come on up and get in on that.
And hang out with Rock Hod Rick. And
Yeah. Dallas will be there too.
Right?
And a lot of our great people.
Oh, yeah.
People come back year after year. So if somebody wants to take advantage of one of those spots, give us kind of the lowdown on the trip. What does it include, and what do you get?
Well, it's an all-inclusive, you know, come on up. You know, we pick up at the airport and, you know, handle everything from there, you know, right through the trip, you know, the fishing, the lodging, all the meals, the fish packaging, you know, fishing license and stamps are all covered. So really just, you know, sign up, you know, pay the one price, get your airfare and that's it. You don't have to worry about another thing after that.
And the fish processing is included as well?
The best fish processing.
Right.
Yeah. Seth, I had a piece of king salmon from last year, and we had it last night, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it's so fresh. I mean, you can tell the difference in the Kingfisher Charter processing is night and day from anybody else I've ever
seen. And it's so crazy because there's so many operations that have their ticket price, right, Seth?
Right.
And there's the additions. Oh, you want your
right.
fish processed.
Right.
Oh, you want
Oh, you want your license.
Oh, you want to be able to get to the lodge. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what do you mean you're hungry?
Exactly. Oh, you want what they're eating. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. But that's the one thing I've heard from Rock Hod Rick, both. Brandon, both of them have raved about what you offer there, Seth.
Yeah, everything's included.
And fillet shipping also? You ship the fillets home?
You take it with you on the plane.
Right under your arm?
Yeah, right. They put it in a box. Put it in the box. You check it like luggage.
Just have a stringer. Just drag a stringer on the plane with it.
And you wonder.
God, halibut, rock god.
And you wonder why Joel carries that smell with him.
Yeah, that's it. So, and then also, you've the most recent years, you've become pretty darn good at fishing black cod, haven't you, at Kingfisher?
Yeah, that's gotten really popular, and for good reason, because that black cod, is just
incredible.
So delicious. But such good fish to eat, and it's really not hard to catch. I mean, once you get dialed in on the program, you know, in fact, most of the guys now are anchoring, which sounds strange, you know, when you're talking 1,800 feet of depth, but that's, you know, that's the most efficient way. That's the best way to do it. And so
dropping the anchor is no problem.
And
it's just pulling the thing back up.
Well, and I think your brother Heath is the one that kind of perfected that with the anchor job, right? I remember first time I fished with Heath. Here he goes, oh, we're going to anchor for the black cod. Oh, how deep is it? It's 1,600 feet. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? But it works. And we caught more than anybody else. So now everybody's on that program, huh, Seth?
Yeah, it's the way. I mean, you definitely can get them drifting, obviously. I mean, but it's kind of like with halibut. You know, you could drift for the halibut here, and you'd catch some, but you do a lot better anchoring and you know, kind of chumming them in and getting them under your boat, and it's the same way with the black cod. So, yeah, the guys just have a lot of anchor line and a good heavy anchor chain setup and drop down, and you're, you know, pretty much you're going to get them. I mean, it's not a hit or miss thing. It's, you know, if you get out there and anchor up in the right depth, you're going to get them.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Sure. And then when you get back to the lodge, the accommodations are like five-star accommodations. Your meals, I mean, you know, fresh Dungeness crab, New York steaks. I mean, just like pretty much anything you want to eat, they have available. I mean, you're not great appetizers. They bring up the appetizers up to your room, and it's a pretty sensational operation. So if somebody wants to take advantage of those spots on our trip in June, the dates on that trip, I'll look it up here. The dates of the trip are.
I think it revolves around Father's Day. If I'm not.
Well, it's the week before Father's Day this year, so it's the 14th through the 18th of June. So mid June, absolute prime time.
Yes.
And how do we get a hold of you, Seth, if we want to grab one of those spots?
Well, the office number is 907-747-6136, and our website is kingfishercharters.com. And we also have a link right on the Let's Talk Hookup website, right on the homepage. So you can find us easily and give a call. That's definitely the right way to you know, do it if you're going to book the spot, or if you have any questions, just want to learn more about it, just give us a call.
And if those dates don't work for you, the June date, do you have other dates available?
Yeah, we have a few dates scattered. I think we just had something, you know, recently come up in late July, which is pretty peak, and there's still a few, you know, later season, like the end of August, early September. So yeah, definitely, if someone, you know, is looking to come up this summer, you know, there are sold out dates, but it's definitely not too late to get in on good dates, you know, on a really, really good trip.
Yeah. So typically, when is it over? When is your season over?
We go from middle of May to the middle of September. So by you know, September 18th, it's over.
Nice. Well, okay. And our dates for June always are the prime dates. Best weather, best fishing, best king fishing, everything about it. Seth, once again, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do we find you?
Kingfishercharters.com, 800-727-6136. Give us a call, and we'd love to see you up in Sitka. It's beautiful up here, and it's just it's going to be a great season. I can just tell.
Yeah, thanks, Seth, and I'm jealous of being on the boat with you right now. That sounds like a real fun time. Thanks, Seth, for joining us. Appreciate that call, and we'll check back in with you real soon. And
thanks, Seth.
Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska.
Such good stuff.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
You know, Pete, all I have to know is a place that Rock Hot Rick wants to go to.
Yeah.
Dallas wants to go.
I mean.
And Brandon, are you kidding me?
I want to go, man.
Right?
We all want to go there. It's such a great spot.
And it probably.
And year after year.
It produces.
The people want to go back. And that says something about a place.
And
right?
If you can't go.
Back,
if you can't go this year, I mean, you're within a 90-day window,
yeah,
right? But if you can't go this year, I'm almost positive it's not too early to book for
no
the
question about
next
it.
Season,
but
right? If
I'll,
you're listening.
I'll tell you what.
Joel, you got Joel on.
Well, I wish it lasted longer because September, I'm still trying to catch albacore.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if it was something that went
you
through
could
November.
Go early May. You go mid-May.
I could do that, but yeah.
Yeah, get ready for both. But Steve Pinard and Ben are going this year on our Let's Talk Hookup trip. So
another
Steve
one
from Dana Lanning.
That's yeah, all you need to know.
Want to miss.
I get nervous on small boats.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. I have a good text right here for sure. Comes from Mike in San Juan Capistrano. Thank you, Mike, for sending it through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It says, hi, gang. Listening to Captain Joel Ralston talk about the good old days, a ton of fun, he says. Since I always hear people predict the return of albacore, he might be talking about Pete, I'm curious what conditions Joel thinks would need to occur to bring back the long fins to SoCal sport fishing. Again, Mike in San Juan. Thank you.
If I knew what would bring them back, people would have to pay me a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's a crystal ball thing. They are where they are.
Yeah,
and they'll be where they'll be.
Like going back and forth, like where Patty, he mentioned the Urban Bank. There's been albacore on the Urban Bank since I've been going back and forth to the South Pacific. They're
which
west,
is where?
Straight west.
Really?
The
like,
Urban Bank.
Like
yeah.
How many miles? I mean, roughly.
Kind of on the way to Hawaii. You said 1,500, right?
Something like that. It's 117 here, 138. So
that's
18 blocks, 18, 6.
Pretty crazy. Out there.
1,000 miles, 1,100 miles.
Crazy. Insane.
Roughly.
Yeah.
I need more coffee to do accurate math. But
right.
I think that's about right. But there's been fish straight west of here.
And it
was weird when they first started coming back, we were catching them on the Legend. We were catching short-billed spearfish with them and stuff like that. And that's,
which is tropical. Yeah.
It's a tropical thing, which
right.
is like we catch those when I used to long line out of Hawaii.
And wow. Here's the crazy thing, too, is Fisherman's Landing would offer, like, I don't know, it was $1,500 for the first albacore of the year. And the skiffs.
Oh, wow.
Would,
all I got to do is hop on a plane with the first one I jig up there. And bring, hey, man, where's my money?
But there was a handful of years that the skiffs caught them in January 1st or that first week in January.
Yeah, Bobby Taft. It was like day at the docks. They'd go out and try to catch the first bluefin or the first this
yeah.
or the first that.
And there were albacore caught in January. And I remember some of the boats would see them like this time of the year between here and Guadalupe.
Out there by the San Juan Seamount on some of the, like I ran a
up north
a 3-day bird watching trip on James's boat on the Grande, and we went out. What year was that? But we went out to the San Juan Seamount to look for it was a
pelagic bird.
It's Cook's petrel, I think it
How
was.
How far is the San Juan Seamount?
It's the Success used to do day and a half trips out there.
Yeah.
They burn a lot of fuel. Nobody with the price of fuel right now, nobody would want to go out there.
No.
But it's
a long way.
It's a couple hundred miles, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back in the phones.
Let's do that, Pete. How about Arnie? Arnie Cohn from Vista. Good morning, Arnie. Appreciate you joining us.
Arnie.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, hey, Corey and Pete, it was really good to see you guys at the PCS show, man. That show was a lot of fun, I got to say.
They do an awesome job, Arnie.
Thank you. Yeah, the last caller maybe already kind of asked part of my question. It's like because about why the albacore have not been closer to home for us in since about 2007.
Something like that.
Is it mostly been the water temp is what's been pushing them away, or what
you
is?
You don't really
is
know, right?
I won't trade the bluefin right now.
I mean, we've had
beautiful
water.
We can blame bluefin.
Right?
I've been blaming bluefin for bad albacore behavior for the bulk of the show here.
In your entire life, really.
Yeah, because they mix up as bad. There might be a bunch of albacore swimming right now. They just acting like bluefin.
Yeah, just don't want to bite. It's a mystery of the sea.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're not catching them.
And all you know is where you go, you catch them there.
Yes.
You hope.
Yeah, we really hope.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning, Arnie. Appreciate that. Hey, I have a great text here from Michael in Hemet. Says, hello, thanks for the show. It's bringing back so many good memories. In the 80s, I used to regularly catch albacore, and occasionally we would travel to Waco, Washington, to catch albacore out of A1 charters. So nice to hear someone still catching them. All good memories from the 90s when the legend was to go out on the go-to boat. I have many fond memories catching yellowfin and yellowtail with my father and brother, bragging to our friends about how well our catch was cared for. Thanks for the memories. That's my
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And you kind of on the day and a half boat, you and Frank and the guys kind of originated really good care on a short range boat.
Yeah,
fish, right?
That was Bill and Frank. That was their deal. They made us pioneers.
And that was the start. I mean, now the full day boats,
the three quarter day boats,
the half day boats.
Holds. Everyone's got their spray brine. Well, they don't add any salt. They keep everything at 33 degrees. So the product that comes out the boat, whether it's a three quarter day boat or a 18 day trip, it's fish quality. It's all number one priority.
Which is awesome to see, Joel, because you and I both lived in an era where it was just like, put it on the deck, put it on the deck,
throw
right?
Throw it in the bag.
But so now...
Sweltering hot.
Now you could be so stoked as an angler to have two quality fish, or one or two or three. It doesn't have to be 30, right?
Well...
No, right.
If catching one, two, or three is good, then catching 30 is definitely better.
Way better.
Bring it on.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, you can let some go.
Right. You're right. But the quality of the fish you're bringing home now is so much better.
It's
I keep saying.
And with the fish processing, regardless of who you choose, of them, vacuum packed, it's ready to go, it's portioned up, maybe not exactly perfect for, some people just by themselves, some people have, husband, wife, kid, this or that, but it'll last.
And that's the thing about fisherman's processing.
You put something in a Ziploc bag and you throw it in your freezer, and then
you better eat it within a week.
Then a month or 2 months later, you go, oh, wow, what was this? What's behind all these ice crystals,
But fisherman's processing, you can dictate, you can have it in half pound, 1 pound. Can you imagine a 5 or 6 pound loin that's just, premium.
Yeah, like I said, we had a piece of
salmon,
of king salmon last night from last year's stock, and it was
perfect.
It was caught
it's
the
perfect.
Day before. And it was properly prepared, vacuum packed, and like fisherman's process will do with your fish. If you don't take care of your fish, it's not going to last, right?
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's always been the big problem.
Yeah. And that's so important for somebody, a commercial fisherman like yourself, to take care of the catch, right?
Absolutely.
You have a bad catch, it's not going to get
Yeah,
paid.
There's a lot of people that have last year we had a bin board broke.
Which are the boards that keep the fish
from
sliding
back and forth.
Yeah.
So it was the first day of the trip. We had 1,076 albacore, couple $3 fasteners broke, the board let loose, started sloshing back and forth. Tail pieces started breaking off. It started scaling up and this and that, which plugged up our brine pump and loaded up the refrigerator. We threw over 100 or 1,076 fish.
Oh,
because
you had to throw them away.
Because to fix the problem, we had to pull them all out on deck, and then they would have got warm. So it was 7 tons, 7.5 tons.
Your worst nightmare.
Well, it could have been worse. We could have had more fish.
Yeah.
But then, that whole day we missed out on fishing. It would have been probably another 7 tons because the fish, the bird schools and everything around us were pretty much all by ourselves. It's like, no.
So was last year your first season with the boat?
Yes.
So this will be your second season. I'm sure the fasteners will be fastened. And
bolts
will be bolted.
That's not going to happen again.
Yeah. Right. You've learned what's going on.
But, anything that could go wrong pretty much did go wrong last year. But it was a learning feel. So I learned a lot. Because jig fishing, it's all blood blast. It's easy. The fish go down there. You don't have to worry about the bin boards or anything like that.
There's just so much information to cover, and it's been such an honor. When we do come back, we're going to have you flip the coin for this full-day trip on the Mission Bell. When we return on the Let's Talk a Kebab YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Adding a fish finder to my fishing kayak completely changed the way I fish. I'm Logan from Fastlane Kayaks, and I've been fishing from a Hobie kayak for over 4 years now. For about half that time, I was fishing without a fish finder, and trust me, it's called fishing blind for a reason. But don't just take my word for it. Here at Fastlane Kayaks, we've been installing and using fish finders on Hobie kayaks for over 25 years. Over all that time, we've done our fair share of trial and error to find the best mounts and methods for rigging a kayak. So instead of trying to learn 25 years of experience through endless YouTube videos, just drop your kayak off at Fastlane. Every Fastlane install is clean, user-friendly, and built to last in real saltwater conditions. One way we do that is by housing all the fuses and electrical connections inside a small waterproof case. Keeps everything protected, organized, and easy to access. Whether you're looking to add a fish finder, install a motor, or upgrade into a brand new fishing kayak, come by Fastlane Sailing and Kayaking in Mission Bay, or give us a call at 619-222-0766.
Southerners Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood, now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Hi, this is Captain Ray Lopez, owner-operator of the American Angler. I've spent more than half my life aboard the American Angler along with my partners Brian and Lori, developing a team that's as good as it gets. I've been fortunate to spend time on the ocean with so many fine people that I look forward to fishing with. We can't thank you enough for being part of the American Angler family, and if you haven't joined us, we love the opportunity to meet you. Text or call Lori at 619-223-5414 or check AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com.
Shimano has taken trolling for big fish to the next level. Introducing the new Shimano Ledge Runner. They set a new standard for offshore diving plugs. Featuring a patented technology, the Shimano Ledge Runner offers seamless depth shifting from shallow to deep ranges while maintaining stable swimming actions, even at high trolling speeds. Designed with durability and longevity in mind, Ledge Runner is available in two sizes and an array of colors. One, its amazing features is ADR, or adjustable depth range, a feature that enables anglers to change trolling depths with ease and efficiency. In addition, the Shimano Ledge Runner has HCW, or Hydro Control Wing, a stabilization feature, ensuring that the lure swims straight, even at high speeds. Be ready to hear that clicker go off with the Shimano Ledge Runner. Available now at your local Shimano dealer.
Are you ready for reliability? Then you're ready for a Yamaha outboard. And there's no better time to jump on board than during our Ready for Reliability sales event. From now until March 31st, 2026, eligible new Yamaha 30 to 450 horsepower outboards get 2 additional years of warranty protection for a total of up to 7 years of warranty coverage. Plus, Yamaha 2.5 to 25 horsepower outboards come with up to $200 in dealer credit. Get ready to enjoy Yamaha reliability with a new outboard today. Visit your local Yamaha dealer for details. Yamaha, reliability starts here.
Offer ends March 31st, 2026. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. 24-month Yamaha extended service added to 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and Joel's going to do the honor of flipping the coin.
Okay, real quick, we got that Fraser Rollo trip coming up on the 3rd, and a lot of people helped us out. First, my wife, my beautiful wife, she did a lot of phone work. Teresa, yes, and her sister also helped out, Danielle. It all started trying to help Lorenzo and Rodan out because they're just passionate about fishing, which reminds me when I was a kid because it was all fish all the time. Also, Bill from United Rods and Bobby from Big Fish.
How about that?
They helped out a lot with some swag for the kids.
That's super cool.
And Jeff Fowler also gave us some rods to raffle off. So, yes. Anyways,
super cool.
To Captain Rollins,
thank you for the help. You guys are awesome. And we're flipping the coin.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Lucky caller, lucky texter today. Texter today is Bob in Carlsbad.
Nice.
All right. Congratulations, Bob and Joel. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It was a great time. Always a pleasure seeing you. And
we'll have to do a November.
Let's do it again. Yeah, for sure. And thanks to Jeff and the fan studio. Thanks to Adam for all he does. We will be back next Saturday. Tim and Marilee Ekstrom from the Royal Star and Fisherman's Processing will be here. Next Sunday, Captain John McCarty and Chris Roop from McCarty Yacht Sales will be here. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on Let's Talk Hookup App, Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.